Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q3 FY20 earnings conference call of NIIT Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vijay Thadani, Managing Director and Vice Chairman of NIIT Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Thank you very much for joining this call. Sorry, we are a couple of minutes late. Some logistics issues, but thanks for being there, and I do appreciate it's a busy time for everyone, so we appreciate the fact that you joined us. I have the whole NIIT leadership team led by Sapnesh, as well as my colleagues on the board, which is Rajendran and Mr. Pawar, who's the chairman of the company. What we are here to discuss is the results for quarter three. As usual, we'll follow the format of a brief overview of the results and some of the highlights by our CEO, Sapnesh Lalla. I will talk a little bit about some of the updates on the buyback, as well as updates on other issues that we were pursuing. And after that, we will open it for Q&A. So with that, I hand you over to Sapnesh.
Thank you, Vijay, and thanks everyone for joining. Please note that, as always, this analysis here is on a year-on-year basis. Also, in accordance with accounting standards, the net impact revenue minus expense from discontinued operations is reported under profit and loss from discontinued operations. The previous quarter's results have also been restated for a like-to-like comparison. With that disclosure out of the way, from an overall perspective, NIIT's business grew 10% on a year-on-year basis, and the revenue stood at 2,476 million, and that was up 5% on a quarter-on-quarter basis as well. The growth was led by the performance with the corporate group. The EBITDA stood at 246 million. The EBITDA margin is at 10%. The profit after tax is at 271 million, up 40% year-on-year. The earnings per share is up 65% at 1.9 rupees. Overall, from a business perspective, it was, like I mentioned earlier, a strong quarter for our corporate group. They added two new managed training services customers, expanded their work with two customers, and had two renewal contracts, which were multi-million-dollar contracts renewed for multiple years. The revenue visibility for the corporate group stood at 265 million. It's up 4% on a year-on-year basis. In our skills and careers business, the two key areas of focus, which is talent pipeline as a service, as well as StackRoute, combined showed double-digit growth as well. As I had guided earlier about our corporate business, there is strong growth momentum. After a brief set of quarters where the growth was a little subdued, the work that the group has done over the last few quarters in terms of customer acquisition and exceptional delivery performance has resulted into strong 17% year-on-year growth. The growth was 18% in constant currency terms. The revenue in the corporate group stood at 1,895 million, And as I mentioned, it was up 16% up in constant currency terms. 18% in constant currency terms. Sorry. One of the key projects that we have been executing, specifically the project in Canada, we had the first full quarter of delivery for this project. The enrollments and the interest in what we teach is in line with our expectations, and we expect that as the next couple of quarters move forward, we will see growth in both the interest as well as enrollments into this program. Revenue from new customers that the corporate group signed up over the last few quarters has kicked in this quarter, and to a great extent that has led to the improved growth in the past quarter for the corporate group. The corporate group continues to attract strong global customers, customers who are leaders in their respective businesses. As I mentioned earlier, this past quarter we attracted two new managed training services customers. One, a leader in the insurance space in the United States, and other, a very large developmental organization. We also added, for the year now, we have added 9 new managed training services customers as compared to having added 4 up to this period last year. So in the first 9 months of this year, we've added 9 new managed training services customers, and that compares with 4 that we had added in the first 9 months of the previous year. The revenue visibility is at $265 million. The EBITDA for the business is at $294 million, that's up 26% YOY and 9% on a QOQ basis. The EBITDA margin is at 16%, and that's up 102 basis points compared to the same quarter last year. The amortization of intangibles for our Canada project that I touched upon earlier has resulted in an increase in depreciation. As you would expect, while we amortize the intangibles on a straight line basis over the contract period, the revenue and margin build up over the first 3 to 4 quarters of the project going live. And as I mentioned earlier, we have completed the first full quarter of this project. For our skills and careers business, Q3 is a seasonally weak quarter. The revenue for this business stood at $544 million as compared to $611 million in Q3 last year. As stated in the past, we continue to rationalize our product offerings in line with our stated goal of moderating our exposure to low margin and high capex projects. Our EBITDA stood at $6 million, reflecting the low revenue run rate in this quarter. The two key growth initiatives for our skills and careers business, talent pipeline as a service, and StackRoot combined grew at 11% in Q3. Overall, as you might expect, NIIT has a strong balance sheet. We had strong cash flows during the quarter driven by strong collections. And the DSO days improved to 66 days compared to 77 days same time last year. I will now request Vijay to provide a quick update on some of the corporate actions during this past quarter.
Yeah, so I just wanted to give a quick update on the buyback process. You all know that the buyback price was set at 125 rupees per share, and the total amount of buyback was 3350 million was the total amount, which includes tax and cost. associated with that. Number of shares were 26.8 million, reflecting 16% of equity. The total number of bids that we received were 69.5 million. So the subscription was 259.45% to the issue. Subscription to the smaller shareholders was 157% of entitlement, and to general category, excluding promoters, was 400% of the entitlement. Promoter holding in this process, given that founder subscription was only 50% of minimum entitlement, was has increased from 31.47 to 34.35. I'm sorry, I think somewhere I mentioned that 350 million was including, I should have said excluding tax
and cost.
And costs.
Yes.
So total cost was we can visit that when we reach there. So overall, I think the second step of our process after commencement of the special committee that the board had set up for with three purposes. One was to reward shareholders. Number two was to look at rationalization and simplification of the businesses. And number three was deployment of growth capital. On the first two, I think we have already seen actions, and on we have seen actions on all three. And therefore, in Sapnesh's presentation further, he would also talk about what are the plans for deployment of growth capital, which is approximately on same lines as before. A detailed update we will be able to provide in the coming few weeks. So we will pause here right now and open the floor for questions, which I'm sure there will be many.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who would like to ask a question, you may press star and one at this time. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Amit Verma from First Rate Securities. Please go ahead. Amit Verma from First Rate Securities, your line is in the talk mode. Can you please go ahead with your question?
Yeah, hi. My question is on the SNC Go Forward business. What exactly constitutes Go Forward in this business for you? And when we are calling it Go Forward, why exactly is it growing at such low levels, which I think is below general industry growth?
Thanks for your question. I think it's an important question. First, the Grow Forward business does not constitute some of the high capex business that we were doing prominently in the skills segment. It also does not include some of the low margin products that we had, which were around providing management education. So those are the couple of product lines that we have discontinued and from our go-forward business. The go-forward business has grown at a substantial pace in the past. This quarter, we saw a temporary hiccup, specifically with respect to our high-end IT programs under StackRoot. We feel that these are temporary and we have gone past them, and these programs will start showing substantial growth. These programs are offered predominantly on a B2B basis, and there are times when organizations choose to defer a few batches, and that's really the temporary cause of reduction in growth. We expect that the go-forward business continue on its upward trend.
So, I have been tracking. Please go ahead. Hello.
No. Yeah.
Yeah, so I have been tracking some of these new edtech companies in India like Simply Learn, Upgrad, etc., which seem to be growing extremely well, you know, and would eventually be competing with your SNC somewhere or the other. Now, do you think for the SNC business, we may have missed the bus as far as new ways of training like online or newer skill sets like data analytics or AI are concerned? And if so, would an acquisition make sense given the cash watches we have now?
Here are two things that I would say. One, maybe I'll answer your second question before I answer your first question. So from a growth strategy perspective, we are, we should, looking for acquisitions to improve both our capability and market access. That has been a stated strategy and we are working towards it. Second, to answer your first question, I don't think we have missed the bus. What we have focused on a lot is to create products that create very substantial outcomes for our students and our customers. We have worked on the StatRoot product for the last 4 years and we've had 16 very satisfied customers where each of the students is showing very remarkable outcomes in the work that they perform. And I think it's that relentless pursuit of quality that sometimes slows us down, but it is that foundation that has worked well for an IIT in the past. And I think that's what will work for us to create a sustainable growth model in the future.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much for your answers.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kaushik Potter from KB Capital. Please go ahead.
No, did I understand you correctly? Are you thinking of any inorganic moves in the school learning? School learning specifically?
It's hard for me, or it would not be right for me to comment on exactly what we are looking at or the types of companies we are looking at. What I would want to share is, A, we look at acquisitions to create substantial increase in our capabilities. Second, we look for creating market access. Those are the two directional inputs I can provide at this point in time.
And is it applicable for the, both the skills and careers as well as school learning or only school learning?
I think the largest parts of our business are our corporate business and our skills and careers business. And so from a capital deployment perspective, those two would achieve a higher priority.
Okay. And of the cash reserve, cash hoard you're having, have you allocated as to how much should be going towards such kind of acquisitions?
We have a committee that is looking at creating a balance between rewarding shareholders, as Vijay pointed out earlier, and allocating growth capital. And I think they are going to create a fine balance between these two key objectives.
And whenever they arrive at such a decision, will it be made known to shareholders as to how much of that cash hoard will be allocated among the shareholders as well as for the inorganic growth?
Yeah, so of course, this is Vijay. So as I mentioned already, I think with the two actions that we have taken since then, we have already distributed 500 and odd crores. I mean, total outflow from NIT would be 500 and odd crores, which offers taxes and costs to be excluded. which have gone as dividend as well as buyback, and that is 36% of the balance cash that was left after paying taxes as well as loans and, you know, the free cash proceed. So that is a constant endeavor, and by the way, the business is also generating cash, so we also have to remember that, and therefore all this will be put together and we will look at every opportunity to see that we are appropriately rewarding the shareholders and sharing the cash with them, as well as keeping the cash for acquisition, for our growth capital which is required. And the plans for growth capital, as and when they fructify on each one of those, and some of those actions have already been put in force, I think we would be sharing with shareholders. So obviously, every capital deployment does get shared with shareholders at a gross level, at an overall level.
Okay, okay. Fine. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone who would like to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of P. Sachdev from Albatross Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Just having a look at your presentation, you know, your corporate learning has thrown a bit of about 28, 29 odd crores and skills has done about 60 lakhs. That comes to about 30 crores. However, the consolidated number shows an EBITDA of 24.5 crores. Can you just throw some light on where the balance 5 crores is gone?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. Our schools business is a very seasonal business. For 3 quarters, it does not create a profit. In fact, it consumes cash. Given the decision-making cycles in most schools which are aligned to Q4, the Q4 tends to be the largest quarter. So that's really the difference.
It's nice to put a slide on that division, you know, if it's operational or non-operational, you know, whatever it is, or some footnotes.
No, I think the data sheet that we give along with the on the website, that has this detail.
Well, it's not there at the moment, so I don't know what you're talking about. Anyway, secondly, on the cash distribution, you know, it's been 10 months since the deal got consummated, and even the management, I think, has clarified 3-4 times that, you know, you need some time for the right allocation towards growth capital and distributing shareholders. So I think it's high time, you know, that the company gave some percentage of the kind of cash shareholders would be receiving, you know. Thanks.
As I mentioned already, on every given opportunity, the company has been working on distributing the share, the cash. And I just answered the previous question. 36% of the free cash that we had is already distributed, right? And the rest will depend on what is required between growth capital as well as balance will be returned at the appropriate opportunity.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vivek Joshi from Bandarpuch Capital LLP. Please go ahead.
Hi. Could you give us an update on the cash on the books as of 31st December and the contingent liabilities which were held? How long? What is the period that they are going to be held for? What is about for 200 crores?
Yeah, that's right. So the total cash balance at the end of the quarter was Yeah, 13.583 billion, which is 1,358.3 crores. Net cash is at 1,292 crores, and so that is our cash balance. Cash was higher than net cash because of the small debt that we have, which is yet to be repaid, which will be paid at the time when it is due, because the closing it early would be a more expensive process. So I think that is one part of your question. What was the second part? May I may have missed.
The 200 crore of contingent liability.
Yeah, indemnity reserve. So there was an indemnity reserve as per the SHA, which we built and we kept, and that is of the order of 222 crores.
And no, that stays for how, what period?
2 years.
Okay, and this 1358 includes this 222, right?
Yes, very correct. So you are right. It includes every
okay. Fair. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Suresh Agarwal, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. I will request to please furnish a cash flow statement, if possible, to the shareholders so that we can come to know how much contingent liability is there, how much we have, because at the time of receiving that one, that from Nick Technology, taxation was there and taxation was reversed in the next quarter. Okay, so I would like to request you to kindly furnish a detailed cash flow statement so that we would come to know how much is there, how much in contingent liability, how much we have spent in this one buyback, and how much dividend is given, and how much is left, and how much debt is there and net cash is there. So I would like to request in the last actually con call also I have requested the management to please finish a statement to the whole shareholders so that we'll be acquainted with the cash position of the company. Thank you very much.
No, we'll be very happy to. In fact, we must have missed it somehow in the last quarter. I'll go through the transcript again to see if we missed out something. But I can read it out to you right now. I have it with me. Or maybe I should send it to you. What do you prefer?
No, please read it out now, so that every shareholder on the call will be getting
it. I'll give it to you right away. We had the proceeds of 2020.4 crores.
Okay.
Of which there was a transaction cost of 36.4 crores.
Okay.
On which there was a tax of 141.2 crores. This was in comparison to 315.6, which we had worked out earlier, but after the union budget in July, we had a saving of 174.4 crores.
Thank you.
So, net, the tax that we paid was 141.2 crores.
Okay.
We repaid a debt of 178 crores. And therefore, there is 20 more crores still to be done.
Okay.
There was a prudent, the reserve for indemnity was at 222 crores, which I answered a few minutes ago. Therefore, the free cash available is 1442.6 crores.
Okay. So only right. Debt is, hello?
Beg your pardon?
Debt outstanding is only 20 crores.
That's right. 20 crores of long-term loans, then there is a cash credit limit in US and Canada, which obviously gets paid from their own cash.
Okay, so after buyback and all these things, actually we are left with around 1400 crore rupees of cash, net cash.
Right. We were left. Of which we paid a dividend of rupees 5 in August.
So,
which consumed 102.6 crores.
Okay.
And then we did a buyback of 412.8 crores total cost. 335 net to the shareholder, the balance in tax and cost.
So how much balance is now there in our book?
927.2 crores.
That is from the proceed of the Nit Technology.
That's right.
And the remaining cash generated by our business activities?
I gave you the total cash balance.
Okay. How much is there?
I gave you a total cash balance of just 1 minute ago.
1
net cash was 1,292 crores.
Okay, sir. Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
I would still like to send you that cash statement. I don't think there is an issue, but Kapil will make sure that you have it.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you. I will be very much happier if I will get it.
No. I also request sometimes in a conference call, it is possible we may miss out something. There is absolutely no harm and we are happy to receive an email from any of our shareholders. We love to respond to that very quickly.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind our participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Shraddha Agarwal from Asian Market Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon to the management team. So this is the second consecutive quarter wherein we've clocked upwards of 15% margins in CLG. So is this the new normal we are looking at, or how should we build in margins for the next few quarters?
I think this is the right ballpark. In a Buffett, a few basis points up or down, but that's the right one.
Right. And how should we look at our growth rates, organic in CLG for, say, a year beyond, given that we've seen good traction in customer addition? So earlier we used to talk of a 10 to 12% annual growth in CLG. So do we stick by that statement, or we see some upward revision in our growth outlook in this business?
I think we should look at current growth rates or in the mid-teens as the outlook.
All right. And second question to you, Vijay, is given that DDT has been abolished in the recent budget, so what should be the new preferred mode of cash return to shareholders? Between balance between buyback and dividend, how should we look at the way through which we would be rewarding the shareholders going forward?
Okay. Given that the union budget was only on last Sunday, and I think every day there is a little bit of an announcement for clarification as people are discovering what all is happening with the budget. Obviously, in this board meeting, we could not take any call and any discussion on that. But definitely, special committee that we have, which is looking at the rewarding shareholders, is continuously looking at. And as we speak, we are examining the budget in detail and then charting out the strategy. It will be wonderful if we can also receive some suggestions from our shareholders. Because everybody is combined, should I say, knowledge and expertise will help in taking a decision which is beneficial to all shareholders.
Right. I mean, the reason why I asked this question is because it's been two quarters that we announced dividend, and I understand that buyback was announced, I mean, just last quarter, and 9 months from now that we can announce another buyback. So do we, or can we expect a dividend announcement between Q3 and Q4 the directional sense I want to get from the management.
So Q3 is already over and we are in Q4. Q4 we are at this time examining the budget provisions, and if the budget stated exactly what it stated, then there is a cutoff point which also will be coming up. And therefore, we have to examine what is best for all our shareholders. But obviously, it can only be in the future. It can't be in the past because the quarter is over. So I think best would be that we remain in touch. And if in that process you have any suggestions to make, we'll be lovely enough to hear those.
Sure. We can discuss this, offline. And the other thing is, how should we build in our tax rate going forward now? Because this time around we had 15% as PBT, tax to PBT. So what should we bake in for our future quarter projections?
18 to 20% would be an appropriate level
next year.
For FY 2021 and 2022, right?
Yes.
Right. And the same number on the CAPEX, if you could provide, how should we look at CAPEX?
So there is a normal CAPEX, which is a normal level of CAPEX which we are incurring, which is in the range of 50 to 70 crores every year. There is a growth capital deployment, which are projects that we are working on, that may get augured by some of those initiatives. So I would wait one more quarter so that we can give you a clearer picture, and by that time anyway this financial year will end and we'll be able to share with you the plans for next year as well.
Okay, that's helpful. Thanks, Vijay.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nisarg Vakharia from Lucky Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Good evening, everyone. Sir, if I heard you correctly, you said that the normal capex in the business is between 50 to 70 crores per annum.
No. What we have been spending, if you see our last 2-3 years, we have been spending in that range. So I'm saying that given that there is a business acceleration, that kind of capex will be spent. Of course, we will not be spending on the same thing. For example, we were doing the Canadian project for which there was a certain amount of capex and that was on a higher side. But that project work, most of it is over. So now I think most of the capex will go for expansion and growth.
Okay. Referring to the corporate learning business, let's say if we do a 100 to 115 crore EBITDA approximately, that number this year, what is the cash flow that we will make on that EBITDA?
My gut feel is that there is about 55 days of working capital.
Right now is around 50%. If you exclude the repo, but we expect that. Therefore, as an overall, it will improve going forward.
Yeah. My feeling is that from that, there are some project-related capex and there is a working capital of 50 to 55 days of sales. The rest of it all comes into cash.
So, 50 days of working capital, and other than that, there is a basic capex which you are saying.
Yeah.
No, sir, what I'm trying to understand...
last 2 years it has been on a higher side because of a project capex.
Sir,
now that, as I said, we...
Sir, next year, if we suppose grow our EBITDA and top line at 15%, and if we do, let's say, 130 crore EBITDA, on 130 crore EBITDA in the CLG business, how much cash flow will we make?
My gut tells me north of 70 crores, 65 to 70 crores.
65 to 70 crores.
Yes.
But then you are saying working capital cycle is only 2 months, right?
Sorry? Yeah. 50 to 55.
Sir, then why is the EBITDA to cash flow conversion so low? Because if it's only 2 months of working capital cycle, the EBITDA to cash flow should be much higher, right?
It should be much higher. I am assuming that we are expanding, we are going to invest in expansion.
Okay, so you are referring to free cash flow when you say 50 to 55 crores.
Yes.
Okay, that's
right. You are referring to the operation. Oh, no. Then you just have to remove 50 to 55 days. Nothing else to be removed.
Exactly my point. Okay. Okay, got it. Sir, this capex which we are doing, so, you know, when we look at a typical IT services business, the IT services business has essentially a similar working capital cycle as compared to you, but balance of all of that money actually goes into free cash flow. So is it that our business is structurally different and we keep constantly need to do capex to get this business, or is it that this is a business which is at an inflection point and hence we are doing capex?
Both reasons. A, it is slightly different. For example, the kind of work, so I'm just saying, if IT services companies got a project saying you please write SAP and then deploy it in our company, then it takes 2 years to write that SAP, I'm taking SAP as an ERP package, and then deploy it for the next 5 years in the company and run the operation. Today, they do the second part. The first part is already done because there is a standard software which is used, because they are doing implementation of existing software, maintenance of existing software, and sometimes writing existing software. Our contracts, some of the contracts, and are structurally different. And that's why project capex comes up. Otherwise, by the way, our working capital is much more efficient than a typical IT services company. If you see, our receivables will be much better or much lower than a typical IT services company.
Yes, but we ultimately see the free cash flow in the business.
No, I agree. Oh. I'm not saying yes or no, but I'm just saying sometimes the projects are of the kind which involve larger capital.
Okay.
Upfront.
Okay. Sir, any large contracts that we are now pursuing, like the Canada deal, which is in the near-term horizon or we have visibility for?
I think during this year itself, we got one, which we had shared.
Yeah, this year we've had one so far and we have a pipeline of three. We expect the decision on at least one or two of them over the next 3 to 4 months.
Sir, what would be the size of these two deals which you expect a decision?
It would not be right. I mean, this is a public call and we are under strong NDAs.
Sure.
And it's not hard for people to figure out what those deals might be. So I would much rather talk about them once they are done investing.
I appreciate it. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahul Jain from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. My question is about the CLS business and the write-off, or say, sorry, not write-off, but amortization that we have done in this quarter. So what is the total amount on which we need to do it, and what is the tenure that we are considering for that?
So, I would answer this question over two dimensions. One is that it is amortized over the duration of the contract, which is 5 years. In terms of exactly how much it is, given that it is very project specific, we would not disclose that.
Okay. And just to understand, both from revenue and amortization perspective, since this was a quarter where we had it for the full of the quarter, but has the contract ramped to its potential, or there is a some legs more where we reach the full potential? And similarly, on the depreciation or amortization point, have we reached the peak run rate?
I think that's a very good question. To answer your first question first, have we reached the run rate, like you pointed out and I had said earlier, this was the first quarter of operation, and I think we will reach a regular run rate in about 2 to 3 quarters. So this is the first quarter. We'll have to wait for 2 to 3 quarters for it to reach full run rate. I think the second question was, is there likelihood of increase in the depreciation component? Like Vijay pointed out earlier, a large majority of the work has been completed, and so what you might see in terms of increase in depreciation as related to this project would be implemented.
Because depreciation is on a straight line.
On a straight line basis, yeah.
Okay. And lastly, if I may, in terms of, you know, we had this thought, you know, since we have encashed this huge asset that we had, and we could now potentially look like a much stronger company from a cash and net worth perspective. So can you say that some of those benefits are visible in the orders that we have added now, or these are in general things that we had and now we may see that potential to be capitalized in future?
I think it is certainly giving us a competitive advantage in the conversations that we are having right now. As you're probably aware, our sales cycle tends to be 2 to 3 quarters in duration typically. Sometimes it is longer than that, especially for large deals. But as our customers consider us, they look at us favorably given our strong financial position, given our strong balance sheet. I think they also take heart in the fact that as an organization, we continuously invest in becoming better. We continuously invest in technologies and innovations which make our services more valuable to our customers. And the last thing I would say is, given our strong position, it creates a sense of trust with our customers that these guys are here for you.
Okay. Thank you. I'll come up for the follow-up if required.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Supratim Basu from Americorp Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Can you give me a sense for your corporate learning group that on a normalized basis, what can be the annual revenue growth rate for the business?
Like I mentioned a little bit earlier, this year the growth rate is likely to be in the 10 to 15% range, and as we look ahead, it's likely to accelerate to mid-teens.
So are you saying that this quarter's performance was exceptional for you to guide for a 10 to 15% annual revenue growth for the subsequent, you know, to point to 10 to 15% annual growth rate for the next year?
No, I didn't say that. What I said is that for this year, we have guided 10 to 15%.
And we are on the upper end of that, right?
And that's because in the first quarter, we had not had a very strong growth rate, and that caused us to have a, you know.
Okay, so I understand that. What I'm trying to get a sense for is that as you build up this business and as you have invested so much in the business, going forward, if you were to take a 2 to 3 year view, is, say, 20% revenue growth feasible in this business?
Let me repeat what I said. What I said is in the next year, we are looking at mid-teens. And from a feasibility perspective, yes, over a three-year period, a 20% growth rate is feasible.
Okay. And just a small data question on this quarter's numbers. You mentioned that revenue is up 17% in rupee terms, but constant currency was up 18%. Where did you get hit on the currency?
I think the predominant hit was between cross currencies between Europe and United States. So it was not as much on GBP INR or Euro INR or USD INR, but it was cross currency between Europe and
Why would you have a cross-currency hit? Are you either billing US from Europe or vice versa or delivering services in that manner?
See, we have almost all of our customers are global customers. And so we might have a US or Europe as a billing location, whereas the services might be getting delivered in United States or from United States.
And
we bill them in one currency, given that we are servicing them as a multinational. So So that's the reason why there is a cross currency between United States and Europe.
I see. Okay.
And now I can't just say Europe. Now I think I should say United States, Europe, and UK.
Okay. One more data question. Your depreciation has basically jumped by 4.1 crores for this quarter, if I were to look at it sequentially. And you mentioned earlier that you follow straight line method. You're following straight line method anyway from a company. If I were to take a 15% depreciation rate, that works out to a 27 crore incremental capex during the quarter. Am I reading that number correct?
So, no, I don't think so. Let me try and explain depreciation or the incremental depreciation between the previous quarter and this quarter. Like I pointed out, we have the first full quarter of a large contract that we are executing in Canada. And as Vijay pointed out, for that contract, there was significant IT creation that was done in the first 2 years of the contract. And then in the last quarter, we had the first revenue generating full quarter of the contract. And so if I look at it from a straight line depreciation perspective, while the revenues on this contract will ramp up over the next two to three quarters to become normalized revenues, from a straight line perspective, the depreciation has started. And so you're seeing a full increment of depreciation, whereas a part increment in terms of revenues. Does that make sense?
Yeah, okay, partly. I mean, I'll discuss this further offline. I mean, taking this Canada project as an example and tying up with something you mentioned to another analyst previously. When you say IP creation was done ahead of a project actually going live, this is basically content creation, right? So what you're doing is that you're taking manpower expense and capitalizing it.
That is, to some part, correct, content and technology.
So when you say technology, this is, I mean, you're capitalizing licenses.
No, the technology that we have built to deliver the content.
Yeah, so what is the technology? I mean, what does, when you say technology to deliver this content, what does the technology consist of?
You can think of it as a platform. The modality for delivery of this content is digital, and our students come to a platform to consume these programs, as well as we use technology to continuously engage with those students while they are on the platform, as well as after they have completed the courses.
Right. So again, effectively, when you say it is your platform and it's a custom-made platform for delivery, to build that platform, it's essentially manpower costs, some amount of hosting charges, and if you are paying for database or other software, the license fees, right? And there's nothing else that is that is there in this thing called technology.
Yeah.
Okay. And then.
Yeah, I mean, building the platform is not.
It's basically people cost.
Those are hosting. Yeah, it is. That he said in the first place itself. Yeah, but I couldn't figure out the point that you were trying.
Yeah, okay. And so if you again take this Canada project as an example and you're building IP before the project goes live, what would be the tenure of this project?
5 years.
Okay, so the project is lasting for 5 years, and how much time did you spend pre-project building the platform and content?
2 years. So the contract term or the delivery term is 5 years from the day of going live.
Okay. I would want to discuss some more on this, but we'll do that offline. And then coming back. And just one last...
Welcome.
Sure. Just coming back one last time to the corporate learning group, your EBITDA margins have been steadily rising over the last few quarters. Is that a trend that you think will continue going forward? Can we expect further improvements, or are we pretty much reaching peak EBITDA levels now?
In our growth journey, I won't call it peak at EBITDA level. What I have said in the past is that we are continuously investing in sales and marketing, and we will continuously do that. I would expect the margins to buffer in this zone or in this ballpark.
Okay. Thank you so much, and all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Suresh Agarwal, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Sir, our market cap age on debt is around 1430 crore, equivalent to our case, more or less. And other than promoters, FII, BII, marginal shareholder are around 24%. But our share price is not reaching the buyback level also. What's the reason, sir?
I think you should be answering that. We only run the fundamentals of the business. We don't manage the share price. We can tell you why our profits are high or low, why our revenues are high or low. The share price is determined by all of you who are on the call. So it will be a wrong question of us.
No. Why I am asking, actually, all the companies are going for 1-to-1 individual meetings with the FII and mutual funds on all those big players, okay? But since our FII, DII, all the shareholdings are already going up, more or less, and they are having a substantial stake in the company, and this minority shareholders, their stake is coming up from 5% to around 24%. But still our share price is not reflecting the true value, because it is more or less the market cap is more or less at this price is equivalent to the cash we are holding. So please, I will request you to do something so that our share price also gives us the come value.
Your point is taken, but what we can do, I can again repeat, is to improve the fundamentals of the business, which is what we work day and night for. But any more suggestions you have, we'd love to take care. Thank you.
As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Okay, thank you very much for your very active participation. Your questions, as usual, create more education for us and give us time to work on things that we should work on and define our priorities. I think there was only one follow-up question, one follow-up request for data, and that was to share the cash flow statement. We'll be happy to share of the proceeds of the divestment. And that is something which we share to others. But if you have any other questions on any parts of the business, please do not hesitate to contact Kapil Saurabh, Sapnesh, or any one of us. We'll be happy to answer further. Thank you very much once again for your continued interest in NIIT. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of NIIT Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.